Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 141, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Buck Sexton, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck J.K. Rowling.
Oh. Ooh, wow. Yeah. I like the twist at the end. Like, we also hate a lady.
A lady.
The worst one of all.
Yes. She definitely should be the finale of that whole group, right? It's Friday, July 6th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I want Trader Joe's to get me through this semi-quark kind of life, baby, I want Trader Joe's. Not listening when you say mask on. That is courtesy of Cookie Smut or Cookies Mutt. I don't know which one it is, but I certainly appreciate it. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my special guest co-host. She is Lil Zam, one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore, Jamie Loftus!
It's Jamie, gotta get down with Jamie. In quarantine, every day is the weekend. That's from Johnny Davis at Johnny D9471024.
Is that
it? What if that was his phone number? As I was saying, I don't know, he's a really long... I don't think that's enough numbers.
Johnny, you've been doxxed.
I just doxxed Johnny. Thanks for the AKA, you've been doxxed.
He is the king of the short show titles. So Johnny Davis, fan favorite, host favorite. Thank you, Johnny. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Teresa Lee.
What's up? It's your girl, Father Longlegs, Daddy T, you know me.
Father Longlegs is so good. Teresa, how are you?
It's great to have you back.
I am alive and here. And
yes,
that is all I can wish for.
How is Woosh?
He's good. Yeah, he's hiding right now. He's been a little grumpy lately. I feel like when we opened, I didn't really go out or anything, but I did take him to more parks just to like romp, and now he's been quarantined again, and I think he knows. He's upset. He's mad at Garcetti.
Yeah,
cursing Garcetti out.
I mean he's been that way from day one, though. To be fair, like it didn't take the quarantine to turn him against Garcetti. All right, Teresa, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We did a Netflix rewatch of two things that I feel like we're going to have the least to say about, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see.
Maybe we'll have the most. Who knows? We're going to talk about how they got Ghislaine Maxwell. In the, is that right? Did I do that right? Did I get it?
I think so.
Ghislaine.
Like in French, it'd be Ghislaine, but I feel like in that documentary, they call her Ghislaine, right?
Ghislaine, yeah.
Ghislaine?
Who knows?
Yes.
Ghislaine.
Anyways, they got her.
She doesn't deserve to have her name said correctly.
They got her in the French province of New Hampshire. the most exotic locale on the globe. That was at the end of last week. We're recording this a little early, kind of very early. So we're assuming, and this might not be a safe assumption, that she's still, that she survived the holiday weekend, because we know how the rich and powerful do in this country of ours. And she does seem to know where the bodies are buried, but, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Karen Watch 2020. It seems like there's just a national reckoning happening. And so we're going to talk about that, why those videos are going viral all at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about a new study came out that ranks masks, not in terms of how cool they make you look, but in terms of how far your sneeze can shoot through them. So we'll talk about that. It's a big difference, unfortunately. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to ask the question, are people really having COVID-19 parties? And then we'll talk about Dark, the German TV show that I watched and have watched before. And we're going to talk about Love.
Very European week on the
rewatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, which Love is a French, or is he French? No, he's Argentinian,
Gaspar,
right?
I think he's Argentinian.
So he's not French, but this movie takes place in France.
He like works in France.
Yeah, his sensibility is so French.
There's a French movie called Amour, which means love, but it's by Haneke, who is a German director, but it's spoken in French.
My head is spinning over
so
here.
So much French. Yeah.
Anyways, Love is a porno is like 2 hours long.
Really expensive porno.
Yeah, yeah.
And true to porno, the story doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
But it's like supposed to not make sense.
I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Anyways, first, Teresa, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, where you are, what's going on with you?
So I searched, are there bots on LinkedIn, which is actually very telling, because I've been going down a spiral of unraveling a mystery, but also unraveling myself about bots. There's just like, you know, loosely the way that Trump has been using bots, or I don't want to say Trump, the radical right has been using bots to influence voters, but also just got me down. I don't know. It really unraveled a lot more. So now I've been looking at other social media sites and how bots data mine, and the short answer is yes, there are bots that will reach out to you to get your information
On LinkedIn?
So they can collect data. Yeah, pretty much everywhere on the internet. If anything seems weird, I would just say the old, adage of don't take candy from a man in a van. We should start telling people just that should apply to the internet. If someone's offering you something and you don't know who they are or what their goal is,
right,
and it seems too good to be true. This isn't just like Ray-Ban. Sometimes they have like a whole job description, but something's right, just a little off. So yeah, they're bots. The bots are out there.
I've been taken in so many times by the promise of Ray-Bans, though.
That's what you say. Jack's always hitting the group thread saying he just found a cool opportunity on LinkedIn.
So, like, what do the bots offer on LinkedIn? Can you, like, speak to that? Like, jobs?
Yeah, sometimes. So that's really, like, I was searching that this morning, but the whole thing about bots has been an ongoing project. So I haven't researched enough into the way they do it on LinkedIn, but a couple articles do come up. So, they're looking for data. So it could be anything. It depends on who's behind it. I mean, it could be that they want to collect, you know, resumes so that they can use. These are all like data mining operations.
Right.
And if you feed it enough information. Info? No, I mean, maybe. Like, I don't know. But like so this is what I tell people who fuck with bots, because sometimes people think it's funny to text back with a bot. But you're actually helping them learn how to speak like a human. So when you respond to these messages, they get better at sounding human, and they also get better at just imitating us, basically.
Right.
I mean, these aren't sentient bots. There's a person behind it, but you can kind of tell what they're after if they're really pushing for you to send a resume, but they don't tell you what the job is. You know, any type right, of red flag like that. If someone's just kind of pushing too hard for one thing, that tends to be a red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
We were just talking about, we were just made aware of the continuing existence of Ashley Madison. And that's one of my favorite stories, is that like when they did that dump of, or like somebody like hacked Ashley Madison and found that it was like 98% men and then like just millions and millions of bots.
Just
these like lonely, depressed men just interacting with robots.
So I guess in theory, all those horny men were helping those bots pass the Turing test.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Getting them inching closer.
Although
it's almost sadder to realize some of those men were still rejecting the bots. Like even a fake robot created for the purpose of satisfying these like sad men still wasn't enough. I mean, it's like time to
right,
look inside your heart, mister. Like these bots can't satisfy you. Nothing
it's
will.
Just them talking yeah, to a mirror, just like a digital reflection of
like
what
this,
they're putting out.
I don't like this.
No, it's not going to do. It'd be great if the bot was rejecting them. They're like, sorry, this just, you don't cut it. What is something you think is underrated, Teresa?
I think Vaclav Havel is underrated. I've been screaming about him for a while, but I think that we don't study enough about success stories of, you know, human rights and democracy in foreign countries. And I think for a reason, you know, patriotism and propaganda. But I mean, most people kind of know about him through his peace efforts. But I first learned about him through studying screenwriting at NYU because we read one of his plays. So he was a playwright in the Czech Republic. Well, he actually created the Czech Republic, but he was there during the communist USSR time, and he used his plays to sort of, you know, kind of like the way comedians do, just push his ideas out. But it got so popular that he became a dissident and his plays were banned. And then he started distributing his, like, they're like one act plays, a lot of them. So they're short. He distributed them via like the just people, and people would put them on in their living rooms to spread the ideas. And these weren't ideas like propaganda. It was just like free thought. Like he really pushed the idea of like critical
right,
thinking and free thought against the communist regime. And he ended up leading a peaceful protest. Well, you know, people still got hurt, but overall it's like a success story because it was the most gentle revolution. I think it was like 89 in Czechoslovakia, where one day they did a general strike with 75% of the country doing the general strike, and it worked because, you know, everybody thinks with money. So the communists let them have fair elections. He established the Czech Republic, became the president, and then went on to continue fighting for human rights and democracy and won a Peace Prize. And it all started because he was a playwright. Yeah. So, and we just don't, I feel like we think of a lot of those Eastern European countries as like socialists in America, where we're almost pushed against them, but he literally defeated communism. But yeah, to American standards, I would say they probably fall on the socialist spectrum.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we don't study that in our schools.
That's fascinating.
I didn't First of all, best underrated in such a long time.
Yeah.
Not to shit talk. Anybody
like,
else
chips.
Is underrated. No, but that's amazing. And that's such, so interesting. Like you mentioned comedians in the United States. I feel like the thing that most comedians do with their success is just become Republicans, like start trying to like protect their wealth. And that, yeah, that's so, it's almost impossible to imagine.
Yeah, totally.
We all aspire to become Republican.
Right. It's like Teresa and I are actually like running together.
Has there been an example of an artist in the United States who's like done something that politically relevant and successful? Because isn't there another like current
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Right. Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger
is
the closest we get. Oh no.
And we have Ronald the dystopian Reagan. Version where, yeah, we got the dystopian version. Well, I think the difference for him was he didn't combine the forms. Like, he was still a playwright, and in his plays, they weren't. I mean, I guess depending on what side you're on, the communists could say it's propaganda, but they just felt like, you know, had intrinsic artistic value as plays that explored all points of views.
That's so
and
cool.
You could, you know, you could watch it and decide your own. You could decide you like communism after watching it. Like, his goal wasn't to change your point of view. His goal was for freedom of expression. So then when he became a politician, he was doing that job. So I like that he wasn't like, and now I'll just use this to sell my plays. But if people are curious, I did buy his, because we read a one act called Protest in school that I really liked. So I ended up buying the full collection, and I have that. It's only 15 pages. I have it scanned. So if anyone wants to DM me, I'll email you the PDF. I don't want to post it because it is still like, you know, copyrights, but this is educational. So I'll send it to you if you email me. It kind of speaks to the whole, like at the beginning of these recent protests where people were arguing within the left about what to do to be right. Like, you know, when people posted the black squares and then they started yelling at each other. So that play sort of speaks to, it's like two people talking, but they're both anti-communists, but they kind of get into this nuance of like, well, I'm doing this because I have wealth and I can't totally show my cards, but don't worry, I'm on the right side. Like, there's a lot of that sort of thing.
Oh my God. Interesting. Sure. That sounds relevant.
And it's funny. He's a funny guy.
Zelensky is the guy I was thinking of in the modern sense, who was like an actual like Ukraine comedian who became like the head of state, who we all now know about because
he played a president, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think he's like super progressive necessarily. Like, it's not like he was their finest artist who people were going to study in universities anyways and became their leader, but still, like, I don't know, there's something about American culture that up to this point in our history has not allowed like that crossover from like progressive, thoughtful, artistically valid artist over to the political sphere. It's just been Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ronald Reagan and Charlton Heston. So.
I think it might be because we put so much emphasis on monetary success in art. To become successful, you have to make a lot of money, and like that usually dilutes the art. Not always, okay. I know it's not always true, but often it dilutes the artistic value. So by the time you get to that point, you do dilute the message a bit. Whereas, and I'm not a communist, I'm an American, whatever you guys want to say is fine, but I like money too. But I also feel like when you get to that level, if your only goal is money, then it's going to be less about spreading ideas and more about just keeping your wealth and your business, because at that point people depend on you. So it's not like selfish to keep the business going if you're paying people's rent.
You sound like a communist, but okay. Upton Sinclair.
Cynthia Nixon would be like a recent example of someone who is like attempted to do that. But I guess, yeah, there's far less left leaning examples that are successful.
Right. And Upton Sinclair tried it in the early 20th
century. Actors aren't writers.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Well, they're not. Their whole goal is to take on any other character but themselves. And then we like erase writers. So I feel like in Europe, or at least back in the, you know, philosophical enlightenment days, it was a lot more reading and focus on ideas, and now it's all about appearances. So yeah, I mean, Cynthia Nixon, I don't know her policies enough. I remember when she was running, but she's famous from an acting role, so it's, we don't know, you know, how she really feels as a person until she comes out and says it.
Right. Yeah, that is interesting though, that is what our politicians are, is essentially actors. It's deep, man. Just fucking nailed him, bro.
That's why I'm unsuccessful in Hollywood.
What is something you think is overrated, Teresa?
I think, gosh, this was really hard because I feel like my brain's been on, someone on, Troy Walker said that I sound like I'm on shrooms all the time. And I think that's a very good way to describe how I've been in quarantine. It's just a lot of
thoughts. Poor brain.
But I'll just, to limit my time here, I'll just say, I think thinking about the world in binary is overrated. I mean, I'm not just saying that as an advocate for the LGBTQ community, but just the way we argue with each other. I think when you're a child, you have to see things binary because it's the best way to learn. It's you versus the world for survival. But as adults, we've kind of forgot that we, just because people don't agree with me doesn't mean they're all on another side. Like there's shades of that. And I guess an example of that would be like the way that the bots have been using the abortion debate to get people radicalized, because they use fake information where they say the leftists want to kill babies. Mm-hmm. But then you're pushed into this corner where you're like, well, if I don't want to kill babies, I have to vote everything that's on the right. And you forget that it's not just A and B. There's other options like changing your platform to include the other things you want and then keeping the abortion if that's what you care about, or talking to the right side and saying, hey, why do you want to kill babies, which isn't true, and then you'd find out, oh hey, that's a lie. Like there's all these other options that we forget because we're cornered into thinking the world is binary. So if you don't agree with me, I'm A or B, versus like, oh wait, there's like a whole alphabet of options that might include something I also like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Do I sound like
that
I'm
makes
on
so much know. Sense?
Deep as hell this morning, Trump.
Yeah, damn. Are you like, on mushrooms? That's deep as
hell. I hope
hell,
I don't know.
Dog.
I think my brain has just been when I don't get stimulated from, you know, being outdoors and on stage, I sit with thoughts, and there's a lot of thoughts. Truly,
that's
it's
good.
Too much.
Should do that more often. We're all learning a lot right now.
Great.
Also, I've seen you on mushrooms, and it's not this.
Yes.
It's different. Yeah.
Did you say it's much different?
The mushroom tea. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I think a myth, well, since we're going into, well, this is going out Monday, so we'll have just passed 4th of July, but I feel like I've been very conflicted about celebrating America's birthday because, you know, if right now there's so many injustices. But I think this might be controversial or unpopular, but a myth is that MAGA or racist people are America, because I think they're appropriating American culture. I mean, they love to appropriate, and they're appropriating American culture. America was built by immigrants, built on fighting oppression. I am American. I'm a U.S. citizen, and most of the people I spend time around and you know, like and get to know are either Americans or people who also share those values. So to me, that's what America is. So I don't feel like I need to fight against their status quo. Like they should be fighting against our status quo. And that's why I feel like conflicted, because there's a lot of push to want to be mourning over July 4th and wear black, and, you know, and I totally understand that sentiment, but then it makes it feel like I don't know where else to go. It's not like, like, I like this country for the values I like, and I don't like what they're pushing, but I don't believe that that's what it is. To me, I almost want to show up like decked head to toe in American flags. Just right. Like, you know, when you show up to a birthday party of a popular girl and you're wearing the same thing, like, that's how I want them to feel. I want it, like, if all the liberals change their profile photos to American flags, it would confuse the MAGA people so much, because they love right. to say that we're not American. But if we're like, we're American and we're protesting because this is American, so I'm going to kneel in my jumpsuit
right.
of stars and stripes.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Suck on that. And oh, I could be like, you guys can change. You guys make a new flag. Why don't you yeah. guys go make a flag? You're not the norm. We're the norm.
Yeah. For people who are listening and can't see, we are recording this before 4th of July. Teresa is wearing a Uncle Sam top hat and has sparklers in both hands and a full American flag jumpsuit. So.
We're railing against essentialism this morning. I like it.
I know, but that's such a good point that, like, we just kind of let them have that and turned that into, like, the thing, like, patriotism being the thing that, like, basic people are into, and racist people, and, like, white supremacists. And, you know, there's a lot of white supremacy in U.S. history. There's also a lot of, you know, mm-hmm. really amazing people fighting against white supremacy.
Yeah, that's the thing is, if you look at the writings on the wall, because I agree, we shouldn't erase history and we shouldn't have a, you know, a fluffy Disney version of it. I think we need to face and reckon with our past. But generally, when abusers and manipulators try to change a reality, they're putting a lot of money and effort into changing it because they have to hide the truth. So the writings on the wall show, like, who's spending them, like the Koch brothers, they're spending so much money and they're kind of successful doing it. But even with all the money and time they've thrown at it, it's still not a sure thing. That's why they're so mad. It's yeah. hard to hide the truth. And so the writings on the wall show, if you're not sure what to believe, like, whoever's spending the most effort to cover the truth is probably not thinking about your interest. And when I think about what's American, like, people trying to change the history of America or change the future, like racists trying to erase culture and erase identities, mm-hmm. that's actually going against the trend of America. They're actually putting effort to change it. So to me, right. I'd say, like, you're trying to fuck America up. You're not trying to save America.
Right. And going against, like, the natural inclination of America, I think, broadly. Mm-hmm.
I think like my plan for 4th of July as of now is, like, I'm going to make a hot dog at my house and I'm going to call my racist relatives and have a, just like, it's, you know, like, you can, there's more than one way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm still going to have a hot dog and it's going to taste like shit. And then I'm going to have like a discussion.
Nice. Yeah. I think that's a great plan. That's that's the most American thing you can do, is try to engage in debate with people while eating food that is slowly poisoning you to death.
Oh yeah. I'm like, I want to be having an intellectual discussion while actively removing years from my own life.
Isn't it weird that hot dogs are American and they're also, white people love to make fun of Asian food as being gross, but. And then also white people make fun of Asian people for eating dogs in certain areas. But we literally, the most American food is called a hot dog and it's full of intestines. Isn't that so weird? I'd never thought about that until just now. But it's literally the most nasty parts of meat. And then they love to make fun of, like, different other cultures' foods that aren't actually that gross, but just different.
Full of, like, an intestine
something
du
called
jour.
Dogs.
Call it hot dog. Yeah. And that's the insult they use. Well, the very racist ones, like, to say that Asian people eat dogs.
We eat hush puppies and we, like,
It's almost leading me to believe that, like, there's the whole taboo, like, the whole taboo around eating dogs is, like, because Americans desperately want to eat dogs, and they're just like,
it's like the guy who's like, if you legalize gay marriage, that means I can marry my dog. What do you, it's like, you want to marry a dog.
You do. Like, you clearly want to marry a dog.
It's telling myself to be like, I want to eat
so many dog-based foods. That's so amazing.
If anyone listening hasn't seen the How It's Made episode on hot dogs, you know, don't do it right after a meal. But it's the wildest. It's the grossest shit on the entire planet. It's yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And as of this recording, Ghislaine Maxwell is in FBI custody. Some people on Twitter are saying, you know, start the death clock on her, which is exactly what we said when Epstein was arrested. We were like, wait till they kill him, and then he died.
Right, yeah.
so it wasn't a joke. So I don't know what to, like, if she dies under mysterious circumstances, it's just like so, it's not really a question of like whether a bunch of rich people want her dead. It's like how mask off are they and the government willing to be.
How long will they wait before like doing anything? Because it's like it was like always a matter of putting her in a position where she has nothing to lose.
Right.
But to, I don't know. I feel like it's so depressing, but I feel like she's for sure going to die under mysterious circumstances. It's just a matter of whether they're going to wait.
Right.
If they're going to be like, oh, I guess that the Epstein murder was a little mask off, but maybe right. This one will wait a bit. We'll see.
Yeah. I also wonder if it's like the people who are dumping weird news during the pandemic because they know people won't be paying as much attention. So they're like, hurry up and grab her so we can kill her while people are paying attention to the national uprising and election and
COVID pandemic and all
yeah.
this stuff. Yeah.
All very
she,
cynical.
I mean, she has so much time to like just prepare. Like, I don't want to be a cynic, but I'm like, even if she didn't, I don't know. I feel like she had time to like hide the evidence or make her deals and all that. And it's like, I don't.
She should don't have.
That, yeah.
She should have a dead hand switch, like where if she dies, all of a sudden all the tapes like show up in the New York Times inbox like the next day. Would be actually not the New York Times, in the Daily Zeitgeist inbox. I don't trust the New York Times. So let's just. They caught her in New Hampshire. First weird thing is that she was still. That was like the very first rumor when Epstein died was that she was. Or even when he was first arrested, people were like, she's in New Hampshire with her boyfriend. And then, right.
And then I feel like the vibe at that time was like, there's no way. She wouldn't just be yeah. in New Hampshire.
And I remember like following it and like some media organization like doorstepped him basically and was like, yeah, is she here? And he was like, Ghislaine, what? That's, I've never heard of a name. What, who's that?
That reminds me of that scene in I, Tonya, where they show up at what's his name, Paul Walter Hauser's house, and he's like Tony or like Tony Harding. I don't know a Tony Harding. Yeah. Or like, sir, you're her bodyguard.
But they do. Epstein was doing that in his deposition. I watched the doc on Netflix, and they ask him about people he clearly knows, and he's like, "Oh, what was the name? Say it again."
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
It's so flagrant.
I'm also seeing a lot of people cover the photograph of her at In-N-Out Burger as though that was a real photograph, but didn't the internet prove that was like fake because the signs in the background?
Oh, I didn't know where that had landed.
So there were these two photographs of her eating outside of an In-N-Out Burger where she was clearly, it seemed like she was posing for the photographs or like totally at ease with being photographed. And she was reading a book about CIA operatives who were secretly murdered.
Oh, geez.
So I thought we had proven that it wasn't an actual photograph because the billboards in the background were of Good Boys or that movie about kids.
Yes, it's that. Yeah, I think that it was heavily speculated that those were photoshopped because Jacob Tremblay poster.
Right, exactly.
Didn't match up. I mean, wild that Tremblay managed to get his way into this story.
Yeah.
What won't he do for press?
Yeah. He touches everything. The Tremblay.
6 degrees.
Big
of Tremblay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I guess I'm seeing that is what it was. I've only seen it like speculated, but it seems like based on that argument, you could pretty clearly say that it was photoshopped.
It's also weird, like some of the articles where they're talking about this news, they all call her like one-time girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein. Like, I don't know if that's a publicist thing to try to just like make her feel like she's less. I mean, she like lived with him, right? And she was brought up multiple times by these survivors. So it's so weird that they've really harped on describing her as one-time girlfriend of Ghislaine Maxwell or Jeffrey Epstein. Like, it's such a bizarre
human
way
trafficker.
To even call someone one-time girlfriend. Like,
Yeah.
Like, I was only
his girlfriend
one time, okay? One time that lasted decades, but, you know, it was one time.
Yeah, the details from the victims are, you know, she was involved in literally every way, in truly horrifying ways. And all of the victims, like, one of their first, you know, questions after Epstein died was like, well, let's get her too, because she's still out there. And she was, you know, super complicit in every, like,
the organizer of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worry about, because I feel like the way that this story has been covered has gotten so, I mean, it's so gigantic, and it's such a part of, like, pop culture at this point too, where the point was to the point where people, like, make jokes about it, that it can be pretty funny. But it's such a huge part of pop culture now that it's like, I always worry about there are so many victims of these people, and it's like over and over and over they have to, like, relive stuff, whether it's for a documentary, whether it's in court, or whether it's just, like, seeing this, like, wild goose chase and speculation of, like, dying by suicide or dying by murder. And just it's frustrating. I feel like because everyone's so excited that she has been, like, gotten and she is going to be taken into questioning, like, the important thing is that she has the information that could actually provide a lot of victims with justice. And I have, like, for a very cynical view of whether that is actually likely to happen or not. But yeah, I don't know. The way this story has been covered, because it's been
very triggering
for
survivors. They're not considering the point of view of the people involved, I think.
Yeah, because I think it just gets so, like, it gets so gigantic and blown out of proportion, and everyone has a take on it and everyone has a joke about it. And then it's like it feels like sometimes the objective of the investigation is lost in the excitement of the coverage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's I feel like if she goes to, she's got to make a deal. That's probably how she's going to operate. But I could see her trying to make a narrative where she was also a victim. But I feel like the best way to get her is just to say, without her, this operate, like, she was crucial to this operation, whereas some of the other women who recruited and then continued to recruit could have left and the operation was still going. But without her, I feel like they need I think they're going to be cornered. I just hope the judge is smart enough to discern, because they're often principled where they say, oh, if we let this woman off because she was a victim and recruited, then if Ghislaine argues the same thing. But it's different because she was instrumental. Like, without her, it would have fallen apart.
From the ground floor. Yeah. Like, I have, like, no faith in the American justice system to get this right. They seem to do it 0% of the time. But it's just, it's frustrating. I mean, and it's been kind of interesting to watch, I guess, a lot of people discover what the concept of grooming is through this story. And then also through, unfortunately, like, a lot of like the Chris D'Elia story, like, heavily features that concept, that I feel like it's easy for Ghislaine to say, like, oh, no, not me. And it's like, no, you were a full grown adult who worked at organized this operation at every single level. I don't know. I mean, I
a lot of times it's the pattern too, because I've been told, like, when you don't know, because I've been gaslit before, and sometimes it does put you in a place where, like, I don't know what's real. But a helpful tip is just to look at patterns. Like, if you removed her from the situation, would she continue abusing? Probably, because she seems like that. I mean, I haven't looked into it, but I'm gonna gander yes, because Epstein was like that too. But some of these other women, when they left, they could, you know, if they got the resources, could heal and have a better life. So there's, like, a pattern that persists with abusers, that even when they, you know, move on to the next victim, they continue it. So,
and that gets tricky too, because it's like, how do you prosecute a gaslighting situation? Like, I don't know.
But you were saying grooming. Can I add one quick thing that I realized is a lot of literature instills this in us as young women. Like, one of my favorite plays is Arcadia, and it's literally about a tutor. I mean, he's only 22, but he's a tutor who's teaching this girl Septimus teaching Thomasina, who's I think 16 or very young. And it's like a love story, but the dynamic to begin with is strange because he's her tutor. And through talking and she's witty, he falls in love with her. And it kind of, I feel like, instilled early on this belief for me that if someone takes interest in my ideas, that makes me attractive. But men, older men will give you attention because they want to sleep with you, not because they like your ideas. But then you feel like they like me because I'm smart. And as you get older, you see they just get bored. Once I feel like it's like if you have questions, men like you. But once you have the answers, they're done. And so it really created a very strange dynamic in my mind growing up because I'm very curious. I love to ask questions. And I used to ask older, wiser people. And now I just look for the info myself and answer them. I'm harassed a lot less, but also realize that those people were not interested in my brain.
There was interesting things to realize. Caitlin and I have talked about that a lot on the Bechdelcast too, where it's like that whole like why there is such a like legacy in movies of like a sexy baby lady who like the main male character gets to like show the world for the first time, and it's like a very appealing concept of like I think like the most popular example is like The Fifth Element, where it's like just like a sexy lady hatches and then he has to teach her everything and then they fall in love because she doesn't know anything. And it's like
Little Mermaid, Splash, like all
those. Yeah, yeah. Like that whole concept is so like, I don't know. Yeah. It's so built in. And it's like, I didn't question it for a long time either.
Yeah, because it's so embedded and I don't even think they are actively doing this. But like at the end of Arcadia, spoiler, I don't know if anyone who hasn't read it by now will, but she dies in a fire. So then he's like sad and forever can preserve her in his mind as this like dead 16-year-old who is so smart. But like if she didn't die and she grew up, if she became 30 and she had all the answers and started teaching, I feel like he'd be like moving on to the next 16-year-old. So I don't know. Yeah. It's not as feminist a play as I had thought when I was reading it. Because it's about a smart girl, but she's only smart because she died.
She's allowed to be. Yeah, we'll allow it. The one thing with the Maxwell story is
that we just didn't bring up.
No, that was all very interesting and super relevant. But I am just interested to see, like I think Epstein's whole thing was like, you know, a blackmail Ponzi scheme, or I have that suspicion. It seems like he was taking video of all these powerful men and was not shy in telling the women he was trafficking and presumably Maxwell about the fact that he was doing that. So I do wonder, you know, if they're able to work the whatever the situation is with her so that they can like kind of expose this broader web of human trafficking and, you know, some of these powerful people who were on that island or that plane who kind of got away when Epstein committed suicide in quotes.
I challenge one of these men who who have blackmail to, because I'm sure they're all, you know, shaking in their boots. But I challenge if any of them really are remorseful to just be like, there's a video of me. And so then they can be like, I confirm. And then obviously they'll go to prison. Hopefully they won't die, but they'll say like, because I did it. Because if they did it, they still did it. They got to live with it. So like, if you want to make it right, come out and say, I did this shit. They have it on video. But if they come out, I mean, that would change this whole thing. If one of these men who is being blackmailed stepped forward and said, yes, I fucked a kid and it's bad, but I did it, so it's bad. So me not saying it's not going to make it go away. But now I want to make things right and take down this girl and everything around it. That would, she's banking on nobody wanting that out because obviously they don't. But I think they should come out and make it right.
Well, I feel like another way that could possibly be resolved is there's so many accounts of people who, while they did not seemingly like engage in actual human trafficking, were like on the plane, seemed to know what was going on.
Malcolm even if they Gladwell, were not engaging, Matt Groening,
Matt Groening and his nasty feet story, like that is still like there's so many people who have peripheral knowledge of this that could confirm, because it's like, it's still like they're trying to deny the existence of any of it. And
they're afraid.
That
they're afraid.
Well, and just like assuming that anyone who ever engaged with it at any level is going to be so fearful and embarrassed that they would never admit that it existed. And if anyone at any level were able to confirm, like, yes, I knew this was happening, even if they didn't participate in it, like that moves things forward, at least in some meaningful way.
I mean,
Matt Groening and his nasty feet need to come forward.
We all knew what Jeffrey Epstein's was up to. Like, everybody, like, in, you know, the media was on to him. There were rumors, like, everywhere. So, like, those people clearly knew. And, like, the idea that, because there are these, like, you know, supposed, like, kind of liberal heroes, like Thomas Pinker, who's, like, this respected professor and, like, sociologist type guy, is like, was all over the place, like, in Epstein's life, like, that, like, there's no excuse for him to not do what you guys are talking about, and, like, come forward and be like, okay, so here's what was actually going on. But, like, he's just getting to continue to exist in polite society.
Maybe they're afraid their voice won't be loud enough. Here's what you guys do. Start a group chat, okay, and everybody release your statements on the same day. Then it's like, you can't squash all the bugs at once. So first of all, if you're the grandkid or kid of one of these powerful people, teach them how to make a group chat on Signal, and then tell them to, you know, get the Clintons on a group chat. And
I mean, Malcolm Gladwell seems like he knows how to use a, yeah. Malcolm Gladwell seems like he probably knows how to use a group chat. So Malcolm Gladwell, organize your fellow perverts together. Get them to come clean. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll check in with the Netflix stuff.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And before we get to the Netflix top 10 at the end of last week, I want to talk about COVID-19 parties. I'm sure a lot of you just got done going to a bunch of them over the holiday weekend. But so there's this story that's breaking nationally that's coming out of Alabama and claiming that college students in, I think, Tuscaloosa were having COVID-19 parties where the object was to spread COVID-19, and they would go out of their way to invite somebody who had tested positive, and then they would put money in a pot, and whoever caught it first would get the money.
Where was this reported?
It was reported by ABC News, and they've never been wrong about anything. It just reeks of every one of those like fake local news, like media panic things of like rainbow parties. The girls are wearing different kinds of lipstick, or like pill parties where the kids were stealing the pills and just taking pills at random as like a Russian roulette. Like, those were all stories that like the entire U.S. mainstream media was like accepted as true for a couple weeks, and everybody freaked out about it. And then it was like, oh, there's not been a single confirmed example of this.
Yeah, it sounds a little, I mean, I don't know. That just when I was like looking at the cliff notes of this story this morning, it sounds a little sus to me. I mean, not that I don't believe that college students could act aggressively against their own interest and the interest of people around them, which we saw at the beginning of COVID with spring break and all that shit. Like,
but they didn't go on spring break to catch COVID.
Exactly. Like that level of it, I'm like, that is, yeah. is bumping me with this story. I need more sources.
It doesn't make sense, because if they thought it was a hoax, then they wouldn't believe you could get it. But if they believed it was real, then they wouldn't want it. So it's kind of like the logic breaks down when you try to break it down.
I think the theory is that they think it's real. They think they're like invincible because they're young. And so they want to get it so that they are actually like not capable of getting it again. I don't know. But
I mean, I don't know. Something about it sounds fake.
I said the logic of it and then said something completely illogical. There's also this detail that there's a money pot where the first person who catches it gets the money. But like, how would that possibly work? They're waiting for their test results.
Days.
Yeah, the party's lasting days as they wait there. And also like whoever gets the first test result back. Like,
yeah, multiple people would have it for sure then.
Right.
They would all have it.
It's,
oh my God. This sounds off to me. If it's true, horrible. Hate it. I don't know. Yeah, there's too many asterisks with how that would work. And also the intention of it. Like, I don't understand the intention of it. I understand like, oh, I want to go on spring break. Fuck you. I don't understand what's going on in the world. I'm just going to go. But the intentionality behind this is confusing.
There's also
it's
like,
it's kind of a, oh, sorry. Well, I was going to say, it's almost like it feels like Russian roulette, which is something people do. But I think the magnitude of the story is not the way they're making it seem. Like, I don't want to say it's not happening. Someone could read it and be like, that's a good idea because they're very dumb and do it. But that's the kind of person who might already have a, you know, a death sentence or death wish, or the kind of person who seeks that kind of thrill, like would play Russian roulette. So I believe it could happen. I don't believe that this is happening to the extent that they're pushing it out.
Right. It always sounds a little deflective where it's like it's clear that young people are not the primary like drivers of virus spread. And then you when you see stuff like this, it's like, no, it's actually teenagers that are doing this. And it's like, I don't think that it is.
I also don't think a lot of the things, a lot of these fake stories, you can debunk them by asking yourself if it would be in any way fun for anybody at that party. Like the pill party, like why would you go to a party where some of the pills are Advil or like something that is going to just give you like gas or something, and some of the pills are good drugs instead of just going to a party where all the pills are drugs. Like, why would that be the thing? Like a fun thing.
Oh my God, I've never heard of that, but that's so funny. That's definitely a story designed to stoke fear in parents who think,
exactly,
oh, my kid would take Advil, but they'd be tricked by their bad friend into taking drugs. It's like,
yeah,
they wanted to take drugs, they just take the drugs. Like,
right.
You don't have to be tricked into it. You either do it or you don't.
Yeah. In this case, like, it doesn't sound fun. Like, there's nothing fun about it. Like, because there's no, like, payoff where you're like, ah, it was me who had the COVID-19 the whole time. Like, there's nothing. Like you could just go play like Mafia or something. Like there's just so much more fun things to do.
It sounds like an Unfriended movie. It sounds like I don't know.
Yeah. Movies written by old people about young people.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like it sounds like a story that an old person would write about young people to make you afraid of young people.
Oh my gosh. Like, what's that Kissing Booth one that on Netflix that was like written by 90-year-olds?
That story was written by a 15-year-old.
Oh, it was? Okay.
JK. Yeah. It was written on Wattpad by a 15-year-old, which is just, I guess, evidence to the opposite of like, okay, you know, 15-year-olds, maybe they can't tell their own story on the big screen. Maybe they need some help from an adult.
I feel like, okay, the comedy version of this game, this COVID-19 party would be like, join comedy and whoever gets depression first gets a comedy special.
It's
everybody has depression.
It's not fun, and for no reason at all, we can't stop doing it.
Right.
And we all
and you
have
could
depression.
Win like maximum $40. Like, how much are people winning in this?
Right.
Like, two drink tickets and...
All right, guys, we have come to the Netflix top 10 check-in. We picked the 9th and 10th movies from the Netflix top 10 from the end of last week. They are Love and Dark. These are the fewest notes we've ever had about it. Like, I usually write endlessly when it's a deep movie like Trolls World Tour or The Nut Job, but this week I watched an entire season of a show and I have like a couple sentences. Jamie, you watched Love and your analysis is boo.
Well, I have thought, yeah, that was my central thought.
My central thesis. Do you want to talk Love first?
Sure. Okay. Love is not the Paul Rust show. It's the Gaspar Noé movie from 2015. The whole thing is it was released in 3D at the time. It was like a 3D art house porno movie. They do not have it on Netflix in 3D, so maybe there are things I was missing. But it is fun to know that the movie is 3D because you can tell the shots that were 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's at least one scene where there's like a penis coming at you at the screen. And you're like, well, that would have been something to see in 3D, I guess. Like that would have.
And I believe it's the director's penis. It's actually the director's Gaspar Noé's penis.
Oh, my gosh.
What a treat. Good for him. Gaspar, I don't know. I've seen Enter the Void, which a book. Guy who was dating when I first moved to LA made me watch on a second date, and I don't know. It's like Gaspar Noé is like a talented filmmaker. I don't like anything he has to say, but like the movies look cool. I think like, you know, it's there. It's kind of weird because it's like he's shooting these long sex scenes, a lot of which I did fast forward through because the movie's 2.5 hours long. And by so fast forwarding through sex scenes, it's only 1.5 hours long. so, nothing happens, but it takes less time. But it's like they are like very well shot, like pornographic scenes. But it's just weird to me that he's like he's filming these sex scenes as if he's like the first person to have ever done it, when there's just millions and billions of hours of it, right. With better plots. Like the thing with Love is like, so for me it felt very much like a movie made for like NYU freshman boys, where about, it stars a guy who I learned is now married to Zoe Kravitz. Good for him.
I know. Shout out to him.
So I've seen Zoe Kravitz's husband's dick a lot.
So much.
So much. I great wanted dick on less. That guy. But yeah, like it's about this guy who is like, also there's some, they're in Paris. I don't know what the age consent situations are there, but there's definitely some of that where you're like, I don't love this. But it's just like it's like an American in Paris who talks like an NYU freshman. Every girl he meets immediately wants to have sex with him. He
like where he's standing at the moment, at that moment.
It's so like he's like a shitty person, and the movie knows he's a shitty person, but they're also like, but isn't he complicated? And you're like, I don't think he is. I think he might be a little like,
and he's also like the worst dad. Isn't there like, doesn't he have a
terrible father? And then also Gaspar Noé is like one of those filmmakers who's really into constantly referencing himself and like inserting himself into his own movies, which is like
literally,
literally. I mean, yeah, he's in this movie
with his
as
penis.
A guy named No. And then there's the kid's name is Gaspar. So Gaspar Noé is obsessed with himself. Much like Ari Aster at times, I feel like he's a really good filmmaker whose writing I really can't stand for the most part. But like the main character whose name is Murphy, Murphy's Law, everything's going wrong. They literally show this on screen.
Say that in the movie?
It's a freeze frame.
Oh gosh.
It's a freeze frame. No. And so just the movie does all this stuff to like distance blame and like accountability from the main character when he's horrible and like kind of knows it, but not enough to like do anything about it, which I guess is I guess you can say that in a movie, but why? And then the other, the woman who is very like, it's almost like a Christopher Nolan style role for a woman where she like, like we were talking about earlier, Teresa, she dies to teach him a lesson. He says one.
I only watched the first 2 minutes. I told you guys that, but that's
yeah.
You could intuit all that.
It's good to know.
It's I guess like spoilers for everything, but nothing really happens. It's just like one of those stories where he's with this woman named Electra. Symbolism? What? Huh? Like shut up. Like so he's with this woman, Electra, and then he cheats on her all the time, and he's like, "Why are you mad about that?" And then he gets a 17-year-old girl pregnant, and then they break up. He stays with the 17-year-old because the 17-year-old does not want to get an abortion, and there's like a whole conversation about how she's pro-life, and then they have a kid named Gaspar Noé, and then he's with her, and so he's like regretting that he didn't make things right with this woman he was compulsively cheating on for years. And then you get a call at the beginning saying that she has most likely died by suicide. And then we just get flashbacks to every time that they had sex. And then it resolves at the end by like, I don't know. It just like, I don't know. At the end there, it's like, and the day they met, he said to her, "Life is pointless. You might as well kill yourself." And then she goes, "Haha, I agree." And then 3 years later, she does it. It's very, it's so, I don't know. I didn't, I didn't see much value in it.
I enjoyed your rendition of it more than I think I would enjoy the movie.
And it's told all out of order, kind of for like the hell of it. I didn't really see the point of like the reveal. The reveal at the end is so dumb. It's like the reveal at the end is he said something stupid to her the day they met, and then she didn't learn anything about anything, and then just did something even though she knew he was stupid. And then at the end, they hug in a bathtub. It's kind of fun because you can imagine like Gaspar Noé, just because I have like one of those Alexa things where you can change the lighting in your room. And he's so into like, I mean, it's like effective, but it is also like kind of, are you just whispering to an Alexa like, Alexa, turn the lights red. And then you're like, oh, now we're feeling something. I think I honestly would have liked it better if I could have seen it in 3D. But the story was dog shit. The sex scenes were really long. And it's just like, I could have just watched porn.
Yeah.
That's my review. I could have just watched porn and had a much better time and saved 2 hours.
The first scene is like a very explicit sex scene. And I was so distracted by, I mean, I really just wanted to watch a bit because I just didn't have time to like, watch it all. But I was so distracted by how he was like, he was fingering her, but he was like fingering her thigh. And I couldn't like, I know it's just because it's like, that's good. They're like faking it. So she probably was, you know, safe, the actress and all that. But it made me be like, can you just shoot from a different angle? It was so distracting. And that to me is like, maybe that's what he thinks.
It was not.
I don't know.
But it wasn't faked. Like the whole thing, they actually filmed
people. He was like rubbing her thigh. I'm like, that's not where what are you doing there? I'm so confused. Like, is this how Gaspar like all these like has sex?
And like filmmakers who are like provocateurs in that way are always like, I just get a little like, is everyone safe here? Like that was my I kept thinking that. I was like, is everyone safe here? Because this filmmaker has a reputation for like shooting stuff while he's like high on cocaine. Like he's like openly admitted this stuff. He's like possibly most famous for like shooting a brutal rape scene. Like he's done a lot of stuff that is like, you don't have total faith that everyone is like okay. And so it's also kind of like an anxiety experience in that way. I just said that to Isaac. I was like, because Gaspar Noé, this movie, if you just saw it, you would be like, this movie for sure was written and made by a 19-year-old. but it's not. It's made by a 52-year-old man at the time. And so I feel like it's a little bit embarrassing. I don't know. I think he's trying to make a little bit of commentary on like the stupidity of youth, but he doesn't know how to write his female characters and doesn't really, the only consequence that the like protagonist experiences is that he like a woman dies, which is, I just hate that writing choice every single time.
And he doesn't necessarily seem to miss like or want to make things right so much as he misses, like all his flashbacks are just sex scenes, so it's like all he misses is the sex scenes. Like he doesn't
remember
like
when I fucked. Like it's so because
like if you went back, he'd just do it again because he missed the sex.
Right. Like, that.
I watched it with Isaac, and we were talking about like if the movie was just shown in a linear fashion, because it has this framework of like the day he finds out that she most likely died by suicide, and so that's where the movie starts, and then you have all the flashback all over the. But I think the story is about a guy who is a terrible father who gets a call saying that his ex-girlfriend who he used to cheat on has died by suicide, and then he spends the whole day getting high out of his mind and recalling sex in detail, and then ends his day crying in a bathtub. And so he just spends the whole day at home. Like, it's just, he just spends the whole day at home doing drugs.
That's also very narcissistic to be like,
yes,
this woman who killed herself, who has a life outside of me, who hasn't talked to me, probably did it because our sex was so good. Yeah. And that's the only part. It's like, it's almost, it's like this weird thing of like, not all men, but a lot of these types of like more narcissistic, like I want to say abusers, men, they tend to think, oh, feeling sorry internally and like really wrestling with my demons is enough for you to forgive me. It's like, no. That you should still do that, but also like you still did a bad thing, so you still got a real consequence that still have to happen. I'm sorry that you're struggling internally. That is also hard. But it's not enough. And all these movies are just about like, oh, can you see how this has weighed on me?
And it was unclear. It was not clear to me in the movie whether Gaspar Noé was doing this with any level of like self-awareness. That I felt like was like I don't think he was, but I paused the movie and my boyfriend and I had an argument about it. He's like, no, I think he knows. I'm like, I don't think he knows. I don't think he knows. I think that he, like you were saying, Teresa, I think that he thinks that presenting the fact that the protagonist felt guilt is kind of enough.
Yeah. I think that's...
Well, let me ask you this. Would it change? Because I used to struggle with this and now I decided that it wouldn't. But when you try, if you're a survivor, you try to justify. Like, would it change the fact if someone did a bad thing if they were sorry or not? To me, I used to be like, if I know this person realize how much they hurt me, that would make me feel less mad or less bad. But then over time, you realize, wait a minute, that's also manipulation. They could have just not done it. So them saying sorry and making me feel less angry is also a form of gaslighting.
And it's just like a chance to make it about themselves again, of like, here's my big sorry performance. And you're just like, whether it's sincere or not, like, I just don't want any part of it.
I mean, if he knows, because he just seems so endlessly fascinated by the guy feeling guilty about having cheated on her. Like, that just is.
But no examination as to, like, why does he keep doing it?
Right.
Is it because women are hot?
Like, so, like, what would the point be if he did realize how stupid that was? Like, because there's nothing. Right. Maybe I should be having this conversation with Isaac. Be like, Isaac, you're wrong.
No, I mean, like, it was funny because we had, like, paused the movie, like, 15 minutes before it ended to have this argument. And then I emerged victorious because I was like, I don't think that Gaspar Noé is recognizing what, like, I don't think he's examining anything. I think he's just showing it. And Isaac's like, well, I don't know, like, we haven't seen the end, blah blah blah. And then we watch the end and it's so on the nose, because he's named this character Murphy because Murphy's Law, something that can go wrong will, and which just the name of the character absolves him of any guilt or accountability that he would have for any of his actions, because it's like, well, bad things are just going to happen.
But then at the end
there's that whole scene where he draws the direct line of like, because Murphy told Electra that, like, you know, there's no point in life, that's why all this happened. And you're like, what kind of, like, narcissistic person thinks that someone would even remember that conversation? Like, it's just so ridiculous.
The kind that builds their entire film career so that they can create a 3D film of their boner, fucking the audience, literally fucking the movie theater.
Yeah, Gaspar Noé he's like a talented filmmaker with some serious narcissistic issues, and I don't care for his work.
Cool. Dark is like if Donnie Darko was a German TV show. It's like there's trippy time travel stuff based on a high school education's worth of science, and it's pretty fun for a while, and then you sort of get annoyed by how like clever it thinks it is. But it's just very much centered on that like 19-year-old boy mentality of that you are talking about. Like, season two opens with a Nietzsche quote, and it's like not one of the good ones. It's like, if you stare for a long time into the void stares back.
That one? Wow.
Yeah, his best.
The one that not even DC, a B-side. People who like that Suicide Squad movie from DC love to quote that.
There are some cool twists, like for a time travel. Like, the things I like about it, it's a time travel movie that does some cool things with time travel that I hadn't really seen anywhere else, like where different characters who are interacting with each other, you find out they're like the same person just at different stages of their life, which is really cool. And it's like a time travel movie that I guess Back to the Future sort of did this, but it's got a like small town vibe where you kind of learn the location and you get an idea of the geography of the town that it all takes place around. Like it kind of reminds me of Goonies in that respect. And then at one point in the second season, the kid's bedroom has a Goonies poster on it. So it's like, yeah, okay. So you're definitely influenced by Goonies. I also found out, so anybody who's starting to watch this, do not put the English audio on. Just use subtitles. English, you can like have the English voiceover, and it's so bad. Like the voice acting, because it's like, first of all, it's not like they don't say the same things as the subtitles for some reason, but also like, so they didn't get like great voice actors for the audio track. And then it's also like this really, I don't know if this is how German people talk or if it's like just how they wrote this show, but it's like all very, like I wrote one thing down. We're not free in what we do because we're not free in what we want. We can't overcome what's deep within us is an actual line that one person says to another person.
Casual conversation, you know?
Yeah. So
now, would you say that makes you think?
So deep, man.
Yeah, man. I was fucking brains leaking out of my nose over here. But yeah, so don't do that. Just read because then when you watch with subtitles, like the actors themselves are good. It's just like, yeah, like you actually believe that they're saying something that they would say when it's actually said in the German. So watch it that way. It is cool. Like it's worth watching if you still like Donnie Darko, aka if you're 18.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's been many years since I've revisited Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I even should at this point. I don't know.
That and Usual Suspects are movies that like had the biggest drop off from like when I first saw them and I was a teenager to like when I watched them more recently and was like, wow, these are not good.
Donnie Darko made me think when I was 14. I was like, yeah. Holy shit.
I like in the first opening, once again, only watched the first 2 minutes, but there's that quote about time and I was like, okay, interesting. And then it says everything is connected. And I just out loud said, oh,
oh shit.
You're like
yeah, no. Oh, job. Wow. Everything is connected. God. Is that true? No way. Wow. Is this the premise of the show?
They have like five different metaphors to make that same point throughout. They're like, it's like 20,000 million infinite interconnected wheels that are turning each other. And then they're like, it's like a great tapestry with infinite threads that are all connected to one. It's like, okay, so get it. Everything's connected.
It's
okay.
Like we're all,
and it's made by like
universe.
A moody German married couple.
It is.
Okay.
And the other thing that really made me like changed from, because I started watching this earlier this year because a friend of mine was like, really likes it. And then I watched the Jamie Foxx movie. I think it's like Up All Night or something. It's like a action movie. It was one of the first movies I did for the Netflix rewatch because it was trending.
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
That is directed by this couple. And
really?
It's very dumb. So I was like, oh, so this is like a dumb person's version of a smart movie. and that changed the way I watched the last couple episodes. But
interesting. I am kind of curious.
It's still like I think it's cool, and like the intro, they do a cool thing. It's worth just watching the intro sequence. Is like cool looking with like a mirrored video, and that's it. Those are two things that are trending on Netflix. Teresa, it's been so wonderful having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, enjoy you?
I'm on online all the time at Larissa T. I've been posting about bots. I think by the time this comes out, I'm trying to write up an accessible, easy to understand article about some of this weird shit I'm finding. So I'm just gonna say it'll be out by the time you hear this. So find me on Twitter. I'll link to it, because I think I just sound like I'm a raving lunatic. So I'm gonna find a way to at least simplify some of this stuff. But there's some really wild shit out there.
This is the bot thing. The bot study.
Yeah, the
you're
bot
doing?
Thing, and just a lot of the weird brainwashing indoctrination that the extreme right is using, and how they're targeting people online. So I'll share some examples that makes more sense, and if it's bad, you can yell at me. That's fine. I deserve it.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I really like this tweet. I guess it's a few days old now, but from Z-Way, who's super funny if you guys don't follow her already. Yeah. But it kind of sums up how I feel about coronavirus. She just said, surely we can do more to combat the spread of coronavirus than absolutely nothing. So yeah. I just enjoyed that. It made me sad, but also laugh. So,
Jamie, it's been great having you as my guest co-host these past couple days. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. I'm going to shout out, this is a screenshot of a tweet that I took that was on a long thread that I read till 3 a.m. of like people texting their like 10-year-old nieces and nephews and like how 10-year-olds communicate over text. So here are a few texts from a 10-year-old named Levi to his cousin. My parents cannot pass the vibe check. They made me take out my AirPods. They couldn't pass the vibe check. Fuck.
Wait, that really happened?
Yeah, it's a real screenshot from a 10-year-old texting his older cousin.
That sounds like me trying to write as a 10-year-old. That's what
my
I would write.
My parents couldn't pass the vibe, the vibe check. They made me take out my AirPods. They couldn't. I like that he repeats, they couldn't pass the vibe check. He's shocked.
Although, I guess as a 10-year-old, you are trying to approximate like what older, cooler people say. So maybe that's why it is what I would try 10 to
10-year-olds are out here doing full-on vibe check.
Vibe check. It's like one of our listeners when we were on tour in Chicago wrote, I guess Malort is a vibe. It really made me laugh. All right. What are some tweets? The Drake Gatsby tweeted, normalize faking your own death and starting a new life as a mysterious but respected bartender in a quiet coastal New England town, which I think is good advice. Allison O'Connor tweeted, I miss my friends, but also absolutely do not remember who they are or what they look like. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. And today we are going to ride out on a song recommended by super producer Anna Hosnier. It's called Forever. It's by Ciroc. She has a great at-home Tiny Desk concert out right now on NPR. So check that out. All right, so we're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
When I wake up, no makeup, half naked, I feel like I'm the shit. Pardon my language, but hang-ups do not define the kid. No, I'm not flawless, I'm scarred up and I'm fine with it. My body art a laundry list of all of life's unkindnesses. But I still sip tea, enchant ohm, and live free. Cause hardships and heartbreaks turn to rap epiphanies. And mom told me, stay woke, cause all gold ain't glistening. Choose your words wisely, cause the all-knowing's listening. But no worries, I'm Gucci, my thighs are little juicy. My dialogue, little awkward, my idols still move me. My life is a movie, like Raheem and Mookie. I'm just trying to do the right thing. Hope that it improves me. My bamboos are custom to me.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.